Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture comes from Genesis, the first chapter, the 27th verse. This morning I'm reading from the Message. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. This is the word of the Lord. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Help us to hear and obey what you say to us today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the Sneetches story in Dr. Seuss was really quite obviously a story about divided society. The stars on the bellies thought they were better than the plain belly Sneetches. Remember, they never invited the plain belly Sneetches to picnics or parties. The children wouldn't play together. Now, not only did the star belly Sneetches think they were better than the plain belly Sneetches, but also in perhaps the greatest tragedy, the plain belly thought so too. While they were not content to be treated differently, to be shunned, at some level, they adopted their inferiority instead of rejecting this second-rate label placed upon them. Although they were despised by the star-belly Sneetches, they wanted to become them. And then one day, in comes the town, this ray of sunshine or hope for those plain-belly Sneetches, at least originally, Sylvester McMonkey McBean. He said he'd heard of their troubles, and he'd invented a machine to fix it. All the plain bellies had to do was walk through the machine after paying a small fee, and the stars on their, they would have stars on their bellies making them look just like all the other star belly Sneetches. And behold, the machine worked. And for the first time in a long time, the former plain belly Sneetches had smiles on their faces. Everyone was the same. Nobody on the surface, at least, was better than anyone else. So the story, written way back when, in my youth, really is a rich commentary on social commentary about how we, as fallen humans, search for ways to make divisions among ourselves. Now, there's nothing inerrant about having stars on your belly or not having one. After all, the star-belly Sneetches were more than willing to have their stars removed to make themselves different again. Thus, the perception that one's appearance is better than the others is just that, a perception, not reality. Our world has a lot to learn from the Sneetches. You see, I think we're far more prone to dwell on our differences than we are to celebrate and build upon our common humanity. We stereotype people all the time. We look at them and we think we know what they look by looking at them, what they think, how they act, vote, or believe in certain ways. We form prejudices and we make jokes about people based on their clothes they wear, or what neighborhood they came from, or who they vote for. But to be honest, diversity is nothing new. How we understand and treat each other different from ourselves is not new. Churches have always been filled with diversity. And yet, there, I think, is this desire to make church look similar. There's been a lot of talk about purple churches. You know, red and blue, they make purple. And we've talked about it as if it's something new. But in actuality, we've always been purple churches. Always been. So what's going on, and why is this heightened sense or feeling of seeing division? I've been thinking about this a lot. Pastors talk about it a lot. If you pastor a purple church, you think about it. And one of the things I do know that I see is this idea of Christian nationalism. Who's ever heard of that term? Christian nationalism. A few little hands waving. So, let me tell you a little bit about Christian nationalism. It's not new either, by the way. It may feel new, but it's not. It's a political ideology that seeks to merge Christian and American identities. At the core of Christian nationalism, they believe that America is a Christian nation with a divine mandate, and that government should promote Christian values and interest. Ultimately, establishing a nation where Christianity is dominant and its values are reflected in law and politics. And you may go, what? Well, here's what the Reverend Jimmy Hawkins says about it that may help us. He's the director of the Office of Public Witness for our denomination, the Presbyterian Church, USA. And here's what he says. The merging of faith and politics into one single ideology is adulterous and dangerous. The Presbyterian Church's 2018 social witness statement, Honest Patriotism, determined that bearing our civic responsibility as Christians in mind, we must also, at times in our roles as active Christian members of a civil community, take seriously our prophetic role, because we understand the state as ordained by God. We must, in all humility and acknowledge our own prosperity for error, and call the state to task when it fails its obligations. Pretty strong words. But the fact of the matter is, we talk about red states and blue states and purple churches, something that's been around forever. But somehow, how we vote now puts us into categories and makes us either right or wrong. Depending on who you talk to, you either have stars on your belly or you don't. And the pain that this causes cascades down, as many of us have experienced divides in our family and among friends around this. When the Starbelly Sneetches held a Frankfurter roast, or a picnic, or a party, or a marshmallow roast, they never invited the Plain Belly Sneetches. They left them out cold in the dark on the beaches. They kept them away and never let them come near. And that's how they treated them year after year. And yet, I keep hearing scripture. So God created all humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Our text this morning from James runs, actually, from 2:1 through 2:13. We simply listen to the introduction. Listen now to James' words. James did not stop here to explain or defend the doctrine of God's self-determining elect. He actually assumes his readers know and believe it. And so he uses a reason why they are wrong to favor the rich despise the poor. When they do this, they align themselves opposite to God, who often chooses the poor to be rich in faith and to leave the rich to perish along with their wealth. Now, I want to be clear that James is not teaching that God chooses all poor people for salvation and passes over all the rich. Rather, it's obvious in the early church that many more poor people had trusted in Christ for salvation as compared to rich. Now, there were rich people, Zacharias, Nicodemus, Barnabas, Philemon, but the numbers were slanted towards the poor. That's why Paul wrote in Corinthians, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you are wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God." You see, partiality is wrong. It usurps God's rule, which Paul points out is a counter to what we often believe. Partiality is wrong because it usurps God's rule. It aligns you with God's enemy, and it violates God's law of love. The fact of the matter is, as James points out, partiality puts man as judge in place of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be honest, when I read that, I always get this sense of relief. Whew. I don't have to be judge. Let God be God. When we perceive our job as God's job, then things are really skewed and we're sinning. So what is the Christian reality? God created all of us in God's image. Whether you're male or female or somewhere in between, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're wise or foolish, whether you're strong or weak, vote for red candidates or vote for blue candidates, we are all created equal. God continue calls us to step away from our perceptions and acknowledge God's reality. God is our supreme ruler and judge. Only God. The grace of God is for everyone. Everyone. If God grants grace and forgiveness to one of us, then we're all called to give testimony and share in that grace. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.